Good afternoon. I'm Nancy Milichap. I'm a program officer with Next Generation Learning Challenges, and it's my pleasure to welcome you all to this session, in which I think you're going to have a really great opportunity to learn about one of our projects in the first wave grantees for the Next Generation Learning Challenges in the area of mathematics. Azar Raisadeh, who's a faculty member in both mathematics and business at Chattanooga State Community College, and Bob Olson, who is a mathematics professor at Jefferson Community and Technical College downtown campus, will be sharing with us their project, Do the Math.
Good afternoon. The good thing is we're getting closer to reception, right? Okay, what is Do the Math? Do the Math is actually redesigning a mathematics course in developmental level. The principle behind Do the Math is based on NCAT, National Center for Academic Transformation. Is anyone here is not familiar with NCAT? Bob, would you like to tell them a little bit about NCAT?
NCAT is probably the premier organization in the country that deals with academic transformation or redesigning classes. And just recently, they
NCAT sponsored a Changing the Equation grants, and there were a number of community colleges throughout the country that were able to redesign math courses based upon their models. We have chosen the Emporium model, or rather a modified version of the Emporium model, as how we have redesigned the math.
So this Do the Math is based on five principles and six modules and many best practices of NCAT. Do the Math actually get a lot of national attention. It has been mentioned in Chronicle of Higher Education, and also it has been recognized by President Obama as a program worthy to replicate. So we are very proud of it, and we are very thankful to Next Generation of Learning Challenges to give us opportunity to do that, and we are happy to share it with you. Okay, this program is actually based on three principles. The first principle, make the student do the work, and the research show as a student do more work, they are getting closer to be successful, and they gain more and then gain confidence. The second thing is, if you prepare a very friendly learning environment for a student and give them the individualized attention and assistance, the student overcome the fear of math they had and build up the confidence, and hopefully that guide them to more success. The third thing is based on rewarding a better student, which they like to achieve faster, and rewarding them based on let them take more than one courses in a semester. So based on this principle, and based on what we actually defined based on NCAT, we redesigned the course. So we are going to be four partners, and we're gonna look at the partners. Is the Chattanooga State Community College is the place, actually the engine of Do the Math is there, is built by John Squire, which started in Cleveland Community College, and right now he's in Chattanooga State. And Chattanooga State has five sites and 11,000 students, and in 2 years colleges. And the next one is Jefferson Community College, is 2 year colleges, and it has six sites and 15,000 students. And then the next one is University of Hawaii, Maui College, four-year college located in Maui, Hawaii, and it's five sites, 4,500 students. And our next partner is Education Trust, and actually the mission for them is closing achievement gap. So here is what we actually do. The, go ahead. Course redesign of developmental math. Each college we design two developmental math courses. Students meet in computer classroom and also in the classroom with the computer are there. Like in Chattanooga State, we have a huge mathematics center, which is 195 computer, and is also your testing center. And there is a small room actually for help session and giving a mini lecture to students if they need it. And then we have five classes. Each one has either 22 or 24 computer lab there. We meet with the student in the computer lab once a week, and we meet them with the math center once a week. So, the program is based on mastery learning, and that is what we really think is missing in higher education. A student keep working until they get it, and failing is actually part of their learning. But part of that is innovative scheduling, which continuous enrollment plan, and actually one-room schoolhouse. What that means student can be any level of the mathematics and still be in one room under one professor. The project impact 900 students at three colleges in 2011 and 2012 academic year. And this is based on the sequence of Simline in two colleges, two courses at Chattanooga State and University of Hawaii. Project goals. Increase student learning and success in math. Get a student to actually do the math. So we know if a student do the homework, they can be successful. We have to just make them to do it. So this program actually makes the student to do the homework, and if they don't get the 90%, they cannot move. So the student have to get 90% before they move. Get a student to, we provide the individual assistance for them and actually increase their deeper learning based on incorporating mastery learning. And here is what is really actually the heart of the program is mastery learning. So if a student don't get a certain point on the quiz, they can move to the next part. So they have to do the homework to be able to do the quiz, and they have to do the quizzes to be able to do the test. So a student can do the homework and quizzes from wherever they are, but when they want to do the test, they have to come to the center, the math center, because it's passport protected. So they come over there and take the test. When they take the test, and if a student fails the test, the individualized homework based on what they miss is actually come for them, and they have to do that. They have to get a certain point in that homework before they retake the test. This program actually encourages self-directed learning. It teaches a student, how to learn, and they actually teach themselves how to learn, and that's a very big thing of the program. Gain efficiency for a student. This is reducing cost for a student and actually increase retention and increase flexibility and reduce time to the graduation. Advantage of the redesign. Okay, is create a flexible, active learning for a student. Very, very good, friendly environment. A student, don't learn anything if they don't do anything. Individual student assistant. A student who are struggling with doing the math, they are in the math center or classroom asking the instructor questions. A student ownership. Actually, a student must take the responsibility of their learning. It's not anymore instructor, problem. It's a student problem. We are there to facilitate and help them to achieve what they want to achieve. Accelerated learning. This is really a good part of our program. A student can complete multiple courses in one semester. So if they choose to finish the course, the first transitional developmental course in 3 weeks, they can do that. And then the second, they can start on the second course with the same instructor in the same schedule. If they finish that, they can start in college level math. And actually, we reward them and motivate them based on giving the second transitional course free to them. So we won't charge it for them if they actually pass it the same course, the same semester. So, and then learning community, you know, teacher and a student working together. It was a little bit hard beginning for us to think we are not lecturer anymore. I don't lecture, I don't stay there and lecture. But actually, I find out I am really giving lecture, but that lecture is changed a little bit based on the need of a student. Continuous enrollment plan, a student have the opportunity to complete the course early in the semester, start the second course in the semester, complete two or more courses in one semester, and this include a college level math. Advantage of it is the second developmental path course is free for a student. A student do not change a schedule, a student do not change instructor, and a student can accelerate it deeper completion and learning. The result of it. So this is the fun part. Yes. Well, we have to talk to them. We did talk to them. that is a big thing, but I think when they see the success of a student and when they see the cost you are saving for institution with the program, they'll agree to do that. Really, the cost, they actually, you know, the money you save for them is much more than the cost for those free courses.
Yes,
because exactly, and because of that motivation, and you could see some number, is a kind of like early stage. We don't have a lot of data to do it because this is pretty much new, but I have some data from last semester you could see. See, 165 students completed one course and start the second one. So if you think about the transitional student, what kind of population we get, this is really huge for them to finish the first course and start the second course. And then 81 students completed two developmental math courses. 28 exceeded developmental math and started college level. And I have to tell you, one student did two developmental math course and one statistic college level course, and she finished them. So that is really wow. No, the second course is free if they start it in the same semester and finish it in the same semester. So that's the key. If they carry it for the next semester, the module they take the test is carry over, but they have to pay for it.
So in this case, 81 students got the second course free, but
That's correct. Okay, with Jefferson Community College, 17 completed one course and start the second one. And 4 students completed 2 developmental math course. University of Hawaii implementing continuous enrollment in spring 2012. So they didn't do it yet. Okay, in Chattanooga State, a streamlined developmental math program. 3 courses actually reduced to 2 courses. Think about how much money we are saving for a state with giving all those loan to a student from federal and from state. So we save them a lot of money. We save a student a lot of time. Instead of 3 courses, 3 semesters, we change them to 2 courses, and we are hoping they finish it in 1, and that is our goal for future. A blended learning environment, students meet in computer lab, as I told you, 1 day a week. And they meet in the computer classroom with instructor and in the lab also with instructor 1 day a week. And we expect them to at least spend 1 hour in the math center per week. And we have a system to keep track of their attendance and keep track of how long they spend time in there. And course resources, is everything is online for students. Is continuous assessment for a student and continuous feedback to student. So a student do not need waiting on instructor to get any feedback or any assessment of that. Okay, as a result, sure.
Does the feedback include diagnostics of where they might have gone wrong in a conservation?
That is correct. It's always showing. When they do the homework, it's always showing what part they did wrong. And if I sit next to them and do the work, show the work for them, there is always similar exercises. We can click on it so a student can do that and get the credit for it. Early result. This is what I'd like to share with you. If you're looking at it, elementary algebra, 52% success rate for 2012, and it was 44% before. And intermediate algebra, 62% success rate for 2012 comes to 51%. A student are progressing rapidly through, you know, a streamlined program and change to college math enrollment increases and our transitional really decreases. So that is one of those goals we have. So I think it's yours now. Okay, you want me to stay there? This is...
All right. I'll speak to Jefferson's experience with this. We've expanded our developmental math program redesign from one course to two courses, and starting next fall, we'll go to a third course. We have three courses in the Kentucky Community and Technical College system: pre-algebra, basic algebra, and intermediate algebra. So we're working with those three courses. At some point in the future, we may be able to do a switch where we go to two courses. We just got word a week or two ago that they're changing the learning objectives in these three courses so that we will match the core curriculum that K through 12 is working on. And that's kind of exasperated us because they sprung it on us. And starting in the fall, we've got more learning objectives and I guess you would say deeper learning objectives, things that used to be in basic algebra are now in pre-algebra and so on. So we're doing a rethink on some of this stuff. But we have that situation going on. We also do the blended learning environment. Our students this semester are doing 2 days a week in the classroom. We had started with our pre-algebra course only 1 day a week, as Chattanooga has been doing, but we were not seeing the success rate. We were having students not come to class. Some of them have the misconception that this is online. Well, the work is online, but we still expect to see them in the classroom at the designated point in time. So we thought if we go back to the traditional model, we want to see you 2 days a week, that they would get the idea and come. So the instructors are saying that that is working. They are coming. They are working now, more so than before. We also require them to spend time each week in the lab. We had it set originally at 2 hours per week when we were doing the 1 day a week in the classroom, 2 hours a week in the lab. We left it that way to see if we can get some better results this semester. We have on the downtown campus where I'm at a lab with 100 student computers in it. Last semester it was packed, but we were actually having to have some classes in there. With our group here, we got an NGLC grant, and for our part, I was able to get two more computer classrooms out of that. So this semester I was able to get the classes out of the lab and into a true computer classroom. So we're real thankful because of that. Some of the early results, as you can see, the numbers don't look all that good right now. When we first started seeing that pass rate, we thought, what are we doing wrong? Because everybody else that's doing redesign were saying, oh, we're getting 50, 60, 70% pass rates. And when we started asking, did you have those great rates right at the beginning? They said, well, no, it took two or three semesters for us to get that. And I said, well, that made me feel a little bit better, but I'm still embarrassed about those low numbers. But we analyzed the situation too, and I think part of that is the mastery learning part. If you reflect upon the traditional style that most of us have done, it's all based on averages, isn't it? So a student would do really well at the beginning of the semester, and as the material would get harder, things don't go so well. Students don't do applications or word problems, so they just kind of slide through on those. And pre-algebra fractions are always tough for our students. And where they were able to kind of scoot by those and get a passing grade before, that mastery learning is stopping them. And so we are working right now, what can we do to get our pre-algebra students through fractions to help them get through those word problems so that as they go through the course, they are mastering every single part of the course. And hopefully soon we'll see those pass rates go up. But one of the bright spots that I want to show you at the very bottom, because our project is fairly new at Jefferson, we don't have a lot of data yet. So fall of 2010 was the first semester that we did the full redesign for our pre-algebra course. That's the, and the pass rate wasn't all that good, but those who did pass and then went on to take the basic algebra course in the spring of 2010, we had a 66.1% pass rate for those students in basic algebra. And then we went further to check summer and fall of 2011, and thus far we've got 71.7% of those who pass the pre-algebra fall of 2010 have gone through and passed the next course. So that's where I think the mastery learning is going to pay off. We're still struggling with that very first course, but the ones who make it through there have got a lot better chance of making it the rest of the way. So I think that's the bright spot on the horizon for us. Yes?
You said you got two computer labs out of it?
Computer classrooms. Yes.
What was the choice between computer classrooms or like an online software?
We use My Math Lab for our.
Was it a computer classroom where each student had a machine?
Yes. That's true, because we want them with the instructor where the instructor can work with them. If they are, they are there during the class. Our students are in the classroom 2 days a week in the lab. They can do their homework anywhere. They've got internet access. Tests are password protected so that we can keep the integrity for that. So they do have to test either in the classroom or in this computer lab.
Okay, can I add something to this? Your question about we can check their work online, so why they have to be in the class. When we start redesigning, a student stopped coming to class. They thought everything is online and they're going to do it. We saw really, really bad result because as a human being and being a student and being young and not to think through, they put everything for last minute and they fail. So what we did, we make them to come to class. And also when they are in the class and I'm instructor, I get to know them individually. And through the email and everything, I know who I'm talking to. And actually they really pay attention, they really like that close relationship. So, and then we recognize how much retention goes up.
Also,
I was going to say, it also comes along with one of the research that we've done on blended learning, which shows that blended learning actually can lead to enhanced.
That's right. That's right.
Online, so yeah.
And as we go, we actually tweak our program. So we used to put it like, okay, they have to do this homework before they get to the next homework. Now we let them be free with doing any of those a few homeworks before the quiz. So if they are at home and they stuck and they, you know, they can reach me to help them or someone else, they can do another homework. So, but when they want to take the quiz, they have that 90% of mastery for every single homework. So we're tweaking as we go. Thank you.
And in my math department, we had been offering one online basic algebra course for several semesters. And when I'd done analysis of that, the pass rate was terrible. It was less than 20% every semester. And so for this spring, I stopped offering that. And so that's why I feel it's necessary to get those students into a classroom with an instructor so at least they've got a chance where they can get their questions answered. Right. Uh-huh. Yes, that is true. We do that. If students finish their first course before the end of the semester, we allow them to go into the next course. And this is all done with our My Math Lab so that they're in the math content. We do not officially enroll them in that second course unless they actually pass it in the same semester. So that way, if we were to officially enroll them in that second course, we're forced to give them a grade. And if they haven't completed, we don't have any choice but to fail them. And we don't want to do that. We want to be positive on that. So it's math content during that first semester. If they finish at our school, what they do, in order for the student to only pay for one class, they'll actually withdraw them from the first class and give them like a test out grade of a pass, and then actually give them the letter grade for the second class. Drop them from the first class and officially enroll them in the second and give them their letter grade for that.
So with that one term, they're only receiving one grade?
No, they're receiving two grades if they pass both of them.
Is it a pass and a grade?
Yes. But for our students in the developmental, it's not counted in the GPA anyway, so a pass doesn't make any difference. And at the lower level, it's not that big a deal. But the higher level class they pass, they get that letter grade. Now we're by the semester system at Jefferson. I don't know. It's never been brought up at that. I'm assuming probably some of them are quarter system as opposed to semester system.
I just think it's so easy to do that. I don't think there is any problem with putting in quarterly system.
But getting the second one free, it's hard to expect somebody to do two quarters.
In one quarter. That's correct. Yeah. That's correct. Yes.
Last fall at Jefferson, we did not have that many finish the first course and go on to the second one. But I think that's going to turn around considerably this semester because a lot of those that didn't finish the first class in the fall started where they left off this semester. And I've already got 7 or 8 that have gone to that second course. And I suspect by midterm, it's going to jump up considerably. So we're going to have a lot of students this time to finish that first course and move on to the second one. And those that have already started will probably get that second one finished. Okay. University of Hawaii Maui is also a participant in this program. And this is some of their information. They started off with 4 courses and have now reduced it to 2. They use one book for the sequence to save money for their students. They, too, are working on the blended learning environment. They're just getting started with this. And some of their early results are similar or a little bit better than Jefferson's in that respect. And they do have a few students enrolling in college algebra to continue on with that. An Education Trust is an organization that works as well to disseminate best practices throughout the country with math via the Access to Success Network. It's the largest longstanding voluntary college access program that is around. And they're working with 311 different colleges throughout the country and over 3.5 million students. Since we're partnered with them, they are monitoring what we're doing and have that on their website. So if you'd like any information about our project, you can go to this website. And they just did an interview with us recently and have, I don't think they posted it yet, there, but it's about to go up. It's got interviews with John Squires and me and Kathleen Axe at University of Hawaii.
Okay, do you know what I like to do now? If you have, let's get the email for them so they can have it. This is our email if you would like to, you know, email us. I have my cards here. If you would like to have my card and get in touch with me and through John Squire and also with Bob. But what I would like to do for the rest of the time, I would like to show you a course of really one of the transitional courses. I want you to see how we did in the small part for a student and what the student actually see and what is expected from them to do. So when you see the course actually, then you can put everything together and see it's not hard to do. It's, you know, it's actually very fun to do the course, to redesign the course. And also good part about it is during the semester, you don't have to be worried about assigning any homework, any quizzes, any tests, create anything. Everything is in there for you. And so these are my courses. So I'm going to go ahead and let's just open. Okay, sure. And as we go, we changing our course. But what I want to tell you, two more things we are doing actually, I'd like to make you involved with that. One of them is the mini lecture we do with for a student. We have a different thing like how to use the calculator, how to do the equation. And there are a certain timing. A student can come as a group of 3, 4, 5. It depends on how many coming. And we have a room. We give them very, very short 15 minutes of lecture. And that is based on if they need to come and if they want to come. And another thing, we have a focus group with the students once a semester. And we feed them pizza so they come for free lunch. And we ask them, how do they like the program and what do they like to be changed? And anything is reasonable, we listen to them and we tweak the program based on what we think is going to help them. Yes?
What are the success rates for students in the following course?
I don't have exact data for that, but it shows very, very promising. And actually, as I said, our college level increases since we did that, and transitional decreases. So that is a good promising part of that.
Is the next course a liberal arts education path, or is it the STEM path?
Well, it can be either one of them. The student can choose from two different college algebra, which it can be part of that STEM, and they can take statistics. They can get, you know, any course which is a basic level of mathematics, they can get that. They can get a, you know, general education course also.
Are they going more towards the general?
More towards STEM, really. They're going more towards STEM. The school is to that direction. Okay. Thank you, Bob. Okay, look, this one, I'm going to just open this one for you. It said 0800 and 0850. This is when they actually go to elementary algebra. And when they are in that course, if they are, you know, finish the first three sections, then they can start the second one. There are 6 units in here. As you see in here, there are 6 units. Okay, let me just open one unit, first unit for you. Okay? These are what they are learning in the first unit. The first part of it is that before I do that, I want you to know the success behind that is when you get the stuff from publisher, don't dump it all in there for them to do. Because that's so easy, everybody can do it, and you put it in there for them. And okay, that is really you setting them to failing. What you need to do, you need to pick and choose, choose the homework you want, and put them in a small part, bite pieces for them, so they can do that. And instead of putting 60 problems in there and make them panic, because these students are the one panic from math. So you have to make it somehow more manageable for them. So a student click on pretest. If they want to choose the pretest, and we actually put the first two of them mandatory for them to do. Okay? They click on here, there is a review for pretest, and a student can do the review. See, they have to answer every of these questions. It doesn't affect their grade. That is just for them to know what they want to know. After they finish that, they can do the pretest. If they get a certain grade on pretest, they can actually skip that module and go to the next. So a handful of them to do that. Then the first one, we get a lot, but for the second one, we don't. But let's say a student did not pass pretest and start with unit 1.1. Okay, look at how this works. This is actually a Squire Wyrick series. There is no any book, but everything is in there. What we have a workbook to come with it. So a student click on the video, and the video actually show them step by step what they're supposed to do. Then they have a workbook. Two page of the workbook, a similar problem, they have to do the workbook. We collect the workbook from them when they are ready to take the test. We give actually grade for workbook with them because we think if they do the work actually, they can understand it better. So that is part of their work ethic grade. So, and after they do that, they click on concept check. So there are four multiple choice questions in concept check. Concept check is not really as a homework. I want you to click on one of them so you see what kind of questions are in here. So there are in here, there are three questions. And they are just multiple choice questions. That's pretty slow, I don't know why.
Why does network maybe old slow?
Yeah. Okay. Which of the following is not a digit? And then when they answer these four questions, they can actually save their answers or the answers can be saved. If you're looking at the left side of here, there are help for them actually how they can put their answer in there. And in the right side, in here, in concept check, there is only one help, ask my instructor. But when we go to homework, let's see how can I get out of here. I never work with the computer. I want to go back to homework. Today I recognize my computer I brought here didn't work. So that really make me panic because I have everything prepared on my own computer. So, and I never work with Apple. So let's just save it and go back to, okay. Now let's look at the homework. See how much are there homework here. Slow. It isn't topic number. Okay, let's look at their homework. In very beginning, we put more homework for them because the subjects are much easier. As we get to the more messy stuff, we reduce the amount of homework. And we keep adding application problem to it for them to do. So in here, students have this many homework. So they click on it. I want you to see what they have there. So look at their help. Help me solve the problem. View an example. So if a student doesn't know how to do the problem and they are sitting at home, I'm not there with them, they click to view an example. And it shows them another example. It gives them actually a lesson how they're supposed to do it. And then they keep continue to finish what they're supposed to do. Now I close this one and I show you another eight here. There is another one is help me solve the problem in very top. which actually help them solve the same problem, what to do in here, and a student have to answer that. Or they can actually ask my instructor. This comes straight to my email with that link to the homework. I click on it, I answer it, I explain for them, email it back to student. So a student have many, many options actually to do this part. Yes? Sure. Which one do you want me? Which one do you want me to do? Which one?
The top one.
The top one? Okay. Okay, look. It giving the direction for that, that's true.
Say that
no, I understand what you're telling me. It doesn't tell them that. But if they go over there and solving it, help me solve the problem, or if they click on view an example, it show actually the steps to them. So, and in some of the problem, they have more explanation of how to do the problem than the other. Okay. And when a student do it, my point is they can see all this help here. So they are not just totally by their own. Okay, I'm going to go back to this problem. I want you to see something in here. See, there is no any more help for them there. So the three, four question in the end, on purpose, we take the help out. We want the student quiz themselves. If they fail it, three times answer, they couldn't do it. For getting the credit on that, they have to do the similar exercise. Or they have to go back to watch the video. Or they have to come and see instructor or get help until they understand the problem. So I just want to share this with you. And did you see how a small portion it is? And we thought when we fixed this, we thought the student going to panic because of many, many, many modules. But they actually loving it. And they progress very fast. Any questions for us?
The curriculum is the same at the university in Hawaii as well. Exact same curriculum.
Based on their state, pretty much, yes. Based on what the state asks them to do. Like we go based on our state, what the state wants our student learn after two transitional courses. We plan it based on that. Learning objective. That is true. And also we are using this series. In your college, they are using a different book. So you don't have to use exactly the same thing. But I just want to show you what we are doing in Chattanooga State. We just actually developed this. This is coming after many, many research. We pick up this one. Okay, would you please repeat the question again?
Sure. So you said when a student has problems, they get additional questions that they can answer, additional examples.
Okay, if a student do not answer that right, let's say I help a student with this problem, and I tell him what's the answer. And I put the answer, a student put that answer, right? So the student get the credit, right? Okay, usually if I'm sitting next to a student, I don't do that. But the student put the answer and is wrong answer, after three times wrong answer, they are not getting credit for it. But there is a similar exercise in here. I want to show you. Let's say I put something in here. See, check answer. And then a few times I do that, and then the similar exercise pops up in most of them. So the student have to do the similar exercise to get the credit for it. Yes, it is all there for them.
Right. My math lab has evolved over the years, and they have a lot of requests by faculty throughout the country on what they want. But one thing that I might recommend to you is to take a look at what's available, not just in My Math Lab by Pearson, but any product that you have. Probably you have more options then you want to take advantage of. Just because a new feature comes out doesn't necessarily mean that you want to use it. At my college, I've got some faculty that are really gung-ho on the redesign, and every time something new came out, they wanted to add it in. And I finally had to say, whoa, you're making the course too complicated for the students. And since Chattanooga State is the lead college with our grant, they have done site visits. So when they came to Jefferson last fall to look at our site visit, or do the site visit, John Squires was looking at our course shell and what we had in there, and he said, I think you're making it too hard for the students, because too many of our homeworks had 40, 50, 60 questions in it. He said, you're bogging the students down. They can't get the work done in a semester. So we backed off and tried to limit it to 25 to 30 questions, depending upon what's in that homework. And we were doing personalized homework. That was something that had come out. So we had to do a pretest in order to judge what homework was needed by the students. And so in order to cover all of the concepts in a chapter, we had to have an extremely long pretest, and then we had to have two or three homework questions for every concept. And if a student just said, I'm not doing the pretest, they just open it up, close it, take their zero for that chapter, they might have 150 problems to do, and that's just way too much. So you got to choose your battles with the students on what to do, and that's what Azar was showing you, that on some of these concepts, maybe 8 or 10 questions will get you through, or maybe a max of 25. But just because, there are 40 really neat problems I like, doesn't necessarily mean you should assign every one to your students.
Exactly.
You talked about that as instructors, you do many lectures and kind of coaching the students when they're in there. Is there much in the way of student-to-student interaction in this course design, or is it primarily the student working individually and working with the instructor?
Both. We have a student actually helping the other student as a tutor in the math center. And we have the instructor also in the math center for every hour, which are there if a student needs help. And when I am with my students in my classroom, of course, I am there for them. And continuously, I'm moving from one chair to another chair. It's amazing how fast that hour passed and sit next to a student. And it's really good feeling for me to see the student actually say, I get it. Instead of staying over there and giving lecture, and a student even, they are too shy to ask a question. But I wanna get your attention to something in red there. You see it said late submission, 3% deducted from final score. So we have a calendar for them, and the calendar is there. So really we keep a student on their toes, on the track. So if a student missed the date time, and they're doing submitted late, that 3% deducted from their grade. Also, their work ethic grades come down because we check them every week to see if they are on time to class, attendance. We check the progress online to see if they did what they're supposed to do and how long they spend on the math center. And if their workbook, we give them grade for that. We call it work ethic grade. So we are trying to make them a better worker when they leave Chattanooga State to go up. So we try to work on that part with them too.
And to further address your question, we have faculty obviously in the classroom with the students and most of the time in the lab, but we also have student tutors there. But oftentimes you can work with a student and you try to answer their question in the sophisticated manner that we teachers have a tendency to do. And maybe it works and maybe it doesn't. And the student next door will say, well, why don't you try doing this? It worked for me. And, oh, great. So yes, we do get students helping each other in the classroom and in the lab.
You know, a lot of time in the classroom, I see a lot of cups. We have cups for them instead of raising their hand. So as I get up and I see there are a few cups there, I know which student are doing better. You know, you get to know them. So I send a student to that student to help. And sometimes that really works. But you have to be careful what you're doing, because like older students, they really don't like that. It's ladies, older students, they don't like somebody younger sit next to them and explain for them. So I make sure to take care of those by myself. But I send the young people to help each other.
And one thing you have to watch out for as well is how much help you give the students. Because some students only want the hint, and that's good. Other students want you to sit down and answer every question or work the problems for them. You know, you'll help them with one problem and go to help somebody else, and they got their hand up again, and they want you to come and help them with the next one. And you end up doing the math for them if you're not careful. So you do want to watch out for that and know how much and what kind of help to give the students. And that's an advantage in the classroom, because you do get to know those students, where you don't always get that consistency if you're in the lab with them.
You know, in our school, when we have our book, we have our code, we have a headphone pack together for a student. So if a student asks me a few times on the certain problem, I ask him, watch the video again, then I come back and help you. So because of the same thing Bob just said, some of the students keep wanting you sitting to them next to them. So that really prevents a little bit of that problem.
Another thing that I might mention is overcoming some of the faculty resistance has been interesting. And you know, the faculty, the experienced faculty, think, well, I'm such a wonderful lecturer that I just can't give up my lecture. I don't want to just go around and help students. I got all this education in order to do that. And you know, I've been around for a day or two myself, and I try to tell student or tell other faculty, yeah, I know what you're talking about. I was kind of skeptical about this too, because I think I do a pretty good job as a lecturer as well. But when even with me thinking I'm a good lecturer and my students aren't having success, there's something wrong, and me being a good lecturer is not doing it for them. So what can we do otherwise that will get our students to pass? And that's helped in some cases to bring faculty over. One of the things is, well, we've got so many non-traditional students. We've got some that are 30, 40, 50 years old coming back. We can't expect them to do this. They don't know how to use computers. And after some experience with this, I counter with them, if you'll watch those students, the students who are returning are there for a reason. They're going to do whatever it takes to be successful. And if it means learning how to use a computer that they're not familiar with, so be it. So we've not really found the non-traditional students to be the problem. And of course, the other counter is, well, and those young whippersnappers, they're fresh out of college, they grew up with computers, it's second nature for them, so there'll be no problems at all. And what we're really finding is they do have problems. They are used to the handheld devices, the computers, and so on, but they've been Facebooking, Twittering, playing games. They have not necessarily done any serious work on a computer. And some of them are the resistant ones. So it's not what you always think.
One thing I might suggest or mention too is at George Mason University now, but I was at Clemson University, and the math faculty there are using much of the same approach to the students working in class on the examples, doing many lectures and so forth, and even some of the higher calculus classes and so forth. So it's not just at the entry level or basic level. And they found that they tailored those little mini lectures based on what they were discovering as they went around the class and seeing common problems or questions or whatever.
Yes.
Stopped everyone for a few minutes.
That's true. We do that. And also we redesign a lot of our college level math, almost all of them. We redesign them. It's not just our transitional courses. So it really works well.
How are your students placing into these courses?
We use Compass.
You use Compass?
And FAPE.
You use Compass?
Yes.
For some of the students who are making it, and there's only one student who made it all the way through two courses and then again, what does that say about the effectiveness of your placement?
Well, it's too early to say. And one student, we really don't make any decision based on one student.
Right.
We don't do that, but that's really encouraging us to see even one student can get three-level courses. But we're really paying more attention to how many of the students finish early and start the second one.
But does this cause you to go back and look at placement tool and how effectively it's being used?
Well, we do. We do, and we keep looking at it, of course. Of course we do that. But, you know, as I said, this is our second semester of this. So we are hoping to come with a better result. But as we saw, there is before we starting getting the grant, we did the redesign. That is why we changed our college level to redesign too. And it's really working well. Yes, it's a kind of motivation for them. Do you know, like right now I have two students actually in one of my class. I have many, many of them, but two of our students are almost done with the first part, and they are just hoping and very, very happy to start the second one and finish it. So I can see how fast they are working, how serious they are, and it's a kind of motivation. Of course, it's not for everybody, but for those students, they want to achieve more and finish faster and save money. That's the kind of motivation for them.
Another motivation has to do with financial aid. Because of the changes in the regulations there, they have to get through their coursework within 150% of the time. And if they're spending three full semesters taking developmental, then that means less time to get the rest of it done. And so they are at risk of losing financial aid before they get that degree. So that's another motivating factor for them to compress this and move on with their lives.
We probably have time for one additional question, and then I think we probably need to wrap up. Also, I'd like to invite any of our, I am in the online system, so if there are any online participants that would like to put a question in chat, I would see it, and I would invite our presenters to respond to it. If you do have a last question online or in the room, this would be a great time to get a hold of it.
Yes.
What hours have you found the most productive for the day on the raft? Hour of day.
What hour?
When are students coming? How many do you keep it open?
Do you know, usually 10 and 11 o'clock is a prompt time for any courses. But I have 8 o'clock class, which is doing very well. I have 9 o'clock class, which is doing very well. Really, truly, it depends to the group of students you get and how you motivate them in the first day of a class to get them. But something else I want to tell you about the program we are using or any program you choose to use. When you're looking at the progress of a student, the email of a student, there is a click on the email of a student in the top. It just takes a second. You let the student know, missing class, and also is not on schedule. It just takes a second, it goes to student. So that's a good feature to keep, you know, let them know, I'm aware of your progress. So that encourages students to know, and actually I get some email back from a student, they appreciate that. They said, with your busy schedule, you get, you know, email me. Thank you so much for that. And I'm coming to class next time. I have been sick or I have a child, you know, which was sick, some stuff.
For my lab, it's probably 10 to 2 for the busiest
still
times.
Midday.
Yeah, midday.
Even with the population, you're not seeing things at night, like 7 o'clock at night.
No.
The daytime is better.
Still,
right. Most of our students at night come, they take their class, and they've already been at work all day long. As soon as they get finished, they're out of there. No. I see them doing most of their homework off campus, and they're taking their tests in the classroom.
Okay.
having me and thanking our presenters very much.
Thank you very much for being here.
Thank you for coming.
If you have additional questions, though.
Yes, we are here.
Second, before we all have to head to the keynote at 5:15.
I'm not going to have one.